Our Extreme Faith DVD, distributed to nearly 50,000 people in 6 languages around the earth, focused on God's power to provide for our needs. Through trust in His promises, we could launch out into the deep and accomplish the mission that Jesus left for us on earth. This DVD, Extreme Neglect, focuses on the needs still out there, those that are unreached, the masses in the world. Let us read once again the great commission that Jesus left to us when He left earth. Matthew 28, 18 to 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Revelation 14, verse 6 says, The message shall go to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. And Revelation 18 says, The glory will fill the entire earth. What beautiful promises. The future holds a great, beautiful promise that this message will go into all the world. The Seventh-day Adventist Church has been entrusted with a beautiful message. A message that is to go to every people, to every nation, every kindred, tongue, and people. And it was supposed to go during generations ago. Yet we are still here. This is a result of great neglect. A great neglect on our part to understand the mission, and a neglect on our part to fulfill it. This DVD will focus on that great need. In fact, this DVD is the beginning of a television network called Missions TV. In this DVD, we will focus on those peoples that are dying without Christ, those that are needy of physical needs and spiritual needs. We as Seventh-day Adventists have neglected by focusing on our needs, our comforts, our joys, especially in North America, in Europe, Australia, first world countries. We have not done what we were supposed to. And as a result, God is about to take away everything we do have, that we may have only Him left, and thus fulfill the gospel commission. How sad, though, that we, with all our resources, with all our privileges, with all our great gifts and opportunities, God is now taking away from us those beautiful things that we might finally accomplish the mission by faith, because we have not done it until now. It is important to note that as we look at the needs in the world, not focusing on those things that have already been done, it is our habit to look at the nice things. We like reports about baptisms. We like reports about the work that is being done. We all want to feel good about ourselves and to feel like we have done something. But in reality, in comparison to the great need in the world, we have done nothing. We have to look inward to ourselves to realize how little and how futile our efforts have been. If we just focus on what has been done, we will feel comfortable with what we have done. But it is time to analyze and compare it to God's Word. God's Word orders the message to go into all the world. And when we compare what we have done, it is like teaspoons taking out of water. And when we compare what we have done, it is as if the Titanic were being emptied with teaspoons instead of with massive pumps. Let us look at India first. Nearly 1 billion people, a fifth of the world's population, live in that one country. Every time I go to India, I get culture shock. I don't like traveling to India. People who are born, live, and die in the streets. Large colonies of lepers, families separated from society, and a country that sometimes denies the presence of leprosy because they're out of sight. So much need, spiritual need, demon possessions, hunger, pitiful cases where thousands of children each month are placed in sexual slavery, bought and sold like cattle. As we look at the needs of India alone, we realize we have not done the job. We as Christians, as a people, have failed to accomplish the task that God gave us. How embarrassing, how condemning, how indignant the angels must feel whenever they see the lack of concern and selfishness among God's people. One of my favorite books is found in the book Christian Service. Beautiful compilation of writings about the mission and the responsibility of God's people. It is beautiful to read what we have here. For example, on page 170 of Christian Service, it says, "The home missionary work will be farther advanced in every way when a more liberal, self-denying, self-sacrificing spirit is manifested for the prosperity of foreign missions. For the prosperity of the homework depends largely, under God, upon the reflex influence of the evangelical work done in countries afar off." You see, when we focus on overseas missionary work and taking care of those that are in countries afar off, there will be a reflex blessing poured out on us, because the success of the church at home depends on how we take care of overseas missions. But we have been confused. We have thought that the more we spend on ourselves, the better we will be. Let's look a little bit into our church history. As the Second World War was drawing to a close in the late 40s, we began to see rapid church growth in Africa, South America, and Central America, in what we call Inter-America, Mexico, the Caribbean, and the north part of South America. These countries and continents grew rapidly as far as church membership, and passed up North America very fast. Soon, the number of delegates which were represented at the General Conference and General Conference sessions no longer represented a North American point of view, rather an African and Latin American point of view. The decisions being made about money were not being made by North Americans, rather by our other brethren overseas who outnumbered us greatly. Now, North America, as the richest division in the world, grew nervous. "We are the ones giving the offerings. We are the ones sending the tithing," they thought. "But we're no longer making the decisions. And therefore, we want to change the way the system works." At the North American Division and in the General Conference sessions, the North American Division brethren, my home country, decided to do the following. "If we can no longer make the decisions about money, we will keep our money at home." And in the late 1940s, the amount of subsidies and mission offerings going overseas began to decrease. More and more was left at home. More and more offerings, more and more tithing was spent on ourselves, on our comforts. Better churches, more comfortable youth camps. Why, we want to have more skiing. We want to save our youth, was the story. And yet, was that a blessing to us? Absolutely not. The more we spent on ourselves, the more money that were spent on our families, on our churches, on our comforts, the less our church grew. In fact, spirituality dropped. This is a sad reality, that even today, the number of pastors that we have is decreasing because we don't have enough money to pay their salaries. North America has not gained by giving less money and subsidies to overseas missions. In fact, their spirituality is at a low right now. Our spiritual strength is ebbing. Our financial strength is decreasing. As world economic problems surround us, even our finances are being reduced. We are closing schools. We are closing publishing houses. We are even, in some parts of the world, like Europe, selling off our churches. Why? There's not enough money, not enough members. We have to reduce in size, is what we hear. We have to close. There's just not enough resources. But this is the result of not sacrificing enough. You see, the more we sacrifice, the more God blesses. The more we give to overseas missions, the more that God can bless us at home. There's a reflux of spiritual blessings every time we focus on overseas needs, our brethren overseas. You see, North America was blessed by God financially for the purpose of blessing the world. It was supposed to be the breadbasket of the world. It was supposed to be the treasury of the world work. Instead, we have neglected the work. People are dying in India today. by the hundreds of thousands because we do not care enough. In South America, in the dark countries where the Bible is not known very much, we are at fault for not giving. We have neglected the world field by spending selfishly on ourselves the resources that God gave us to carry into all the world the gospel. Let's continue reading from Christian Service. This time I'm going to read from page 182 and 183. Much depends on the unceasing labor and activity of those who are true and loyal. And for this reason, Satan puts forth every possible effort to thwart the divine purpose to be wrought out to the obedient. He causes some to lose sight of their high and holy mission and to become satisfied with the pleasures of life. He leads them to settle down at ease or, for the sake of greater worldly advantages, to remove from places where they might have been a power for good. Of families, as of individuals, a question is asked, "What dost thou hear?" In many churches, there are families well instructed in the truth of God's word, who might widen the sphere of their influence by moving to places in need of the ministry they are capable of giving. God calls for the Christian families to go into communities that are in darkness and error and work wisely and perseveringly for the Master. To answer this call requires self-sacrifice. While many are waiting to have every obstacle removed, souls are dying without hope and without God in this world. Many, very many, for the sake of worldly advantage, for the sake of acquiring scientific knowledge, will venture into pestilential regions and endure hardships and privation. Where are those who are willing to do this for the sake of telling others of the Savior? Where are the men and women who will move into regions that are in need of the gospel, that they might point those in darkness to the Redeemer? If families would locate in the dark places of the earth, places where the people are enshrouded in spiritual gloom, and let the light of Christ's life shine out through them, a great work might be accomplished. Isn't that beautiful? If only families would be willing to sacrifice and relocate, if they would be willing to give up their comforts. There are places in North America that are dying in gloom and darkness. We need to be reached. They need to be reached also. Somebody has to go there. But the far-off countries like India and Asia, doors are closing. And at this point, there are many places where foreigners cannot go into. Only those that are actually able to go in, like local trained Bible workers, can take the gospel. China has not yet opened the doors very well, but there are many things that we can still do as we wait. China is open to industrial, commercial ventures where professionals can go into China and work carrying the gospel. But very soon, the doors of China are going to open. God is going to open those doors. Are there going to be any families willing to move into China to reach those that are dying in darkness? Another billion, another fifth of the earth's population lives in that country, waiting for the gospel. Do we care enough to reach into those countries through sacrifice by moving there? Let me continue reading page 184. If lay members of the church will arouse to do the work that they can do, going on the warfare at their own charges, that means people paying their own expenses to carry the work forward and going all over the world. You don't have to ask permission to go into all the world. God orders us to go into all the world. People going from every country to every country, carrying forward the Great Commission. That does not require permission. You have orders from the divine commander. You have to go or be considered to be disobedient. Let me continue reading. Each seeing how much he can accomplish in winning souls to Jesus, we shall see many leaving the ranks of Satan to stand under the banner of Christ. People going to the work at their own charges. How beautiful. When the Israelites entered Canaan, they did not fulfill God's purpose by taking possession of the whole land. After making a partial conquest, they settled down to enjoy the fruit of their victories. In their unbelief and love of ease, they congregated in portions already conquered, instead of pushing forward to occupy new territory. Thus, they began to depart from God. By their failure to carry out His purpose, they made it impossible for Him to fulfill to them His promise of blessing. Is not the church today doing the same thing? Well, is it? Is not the church today doing the same thing? Congregating in places where it is easy to live, where there are advantages, where there are business privileges? The church today is doing the same thing instead of pushing forward into the dark territories. With the whole world before them in need of the gospel, professed Christians congregate where they themselves can enjoy gospel privileges. They do not feel the necessity of occupying new territory, carrying the message of salvation into regions beyond. They refuse to fulfill Christ's commission. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Are they less guilty than was the Jewish church? These are solemn words. Can people that are guilty of not fulfilling the gospel commission go to heaven? Absolutely not. Seventh-day Adventist Christians who think of their needs, Seventh-day Adventist Christians who congregate together because it is an easy way of life, spending money on themselves, spending money on their families, spending money on their retirement, spending money on toys, when people are dying without Christ, is a sin. And we will be held accountable for their blood, and I fear for the consequences to God's people. Seventh-day Adventist pastors, as myself, considered to be shepherds of the flock, are the guiltiest of all. We pastors have not taught our sheep sacrifice. We pastors have looked at our comforts, searching for bigger churches, seeking position, seeking authority, seeking to arise in positions of responsibility. While our sheep are following our example, they are dying as well. We will not be held guiltless when we let our sheep die for lack of attention. I would like to read to you some solemn words that God inspired the prophet Ezekiel. In Ezekiel, God spoke directly to the leaders of Israel. Are we not as guilty as they? Let's listen. Ezekiel 34. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should they not, the shepherds, feed the flocks? How many pastors, like myself, are not focusing on the needs of the sheep? How many of us pastors think of our needs, better houses, higher salary, better positions, instead of feeding the sheep? Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Is what God asks. Verse 3. Ye eat the fat, ye clothe ye with wool. Ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flocks. The diseased have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye bound that which was broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, neither have ye sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have ye ruled them, and they are scattered because there is no shepherd, and they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. Therefore, ye shepherds, verse 7, hear ye the word of the Lord. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherds search for the flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hands, and cause them to cease from feeding the flock, and neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. For thus saith the Lord God, Behold, even I will both search for my sheep and seek them out. And he continues on by saying, So I will seek out my sheep and deliver them. Then I will bring them out, and I will feed them in good pasture. Then I will feed my flock and cause them to lie down, and I will seek that which was lost. Dear shepherds, dear pastors, aren't we doing the same thing when we fail to protect the sheep? For example, from wild music in our churches. worldly music penetrating into our churches, and we fail to say anything because we have people above us that would be favorable to that kind of music. We fail to protect our sheep when doctrines of all kinds come in. We invite those with strange doctrines to come into our churches and teach. Are we not doing the same thing when we allow our small lambs to have teachings which are not biblical? In many churches, the kind of teaching that we give our lambs is no longer Bible memorization. It is no longer Bible-based. It's just stories. And it's broken up into pieces. In fact, in some churches, we require police checks before our sisters in the church can even care for the sheep. Imagine allowing the government to decide who will be those who feed our little lambs. If we are not sensitive to the protection of our little lambs, if we are not sensitive to the feeding of our sheep, instead of calling attention to the sheep to the dangers that are out there, we feed them empty nothings, beautiful sermons, pretty little filled up hot air sermons, instead of telling them there is danger ahead. Beware. Fill your minds with God's word. Focus not on the TV. Focus not on worldly music. Focus on those things that will save you eternally. It is time that we raise the trumpet and sound it with a certain sound. God requires that of all pastors. I encourage you, pastors. It is time. Save your own soul and save your sheep's soul. Did you know that there was a questionnaire asked of the pastor's wives? Do you think your husband will be saved? And over 50% of the wives of we shepherds, pastors' wives, said that they doubted that their husband could be saved. What a tragedy! Wives who know us better than anybody else, 50% would doubt that we could be saved. Many pastors are involved in pornography. Many pastors are watching all the movies of the world. Many pastors have the latest movies on their shelves. How in the world can they feed the sheep? How can we feed the sheep when we ourselves are lost? It's impossible. There is an epidemic among shepherds today. An epidemic of worldliness, comfort, an epidemic of selfishness. What are we to respond to the chief shepherd? Well, I know what the chief shepherd will say to us, because the chief shepherd has already spoken to us in Isaiah 56. The chief shepherd has some very serious words for us, and I would like to read them to you. The chief shepherd is saying to us today in 56, verse 10, 11, and 12. His watchmen are all blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yea, they are greedy dogs which can never have enough. And they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, every one for his own gain from his own quarter. Come ye, say they, fetch wine, and we will fill ourselves with strong drink, and tomorrow shall be as today, and even more abundant. There is a crisis that has already started on the world. It's an economic crisis. It is a crisis involving the moral, social, and political structure. Very few will escape. Most Seventh-day Adventists will leave the church. In fact, few Adventist pastors will remain. This is what we are told. And I would like to appeal to you, pastors. It is time to focus, truly focus, on feeding the sheep. Sound the trumpet. Don't be a dumb dog. Bark! There is danger in the camp. And it is time. And if you can't bark, you're not going to heaven. Because unfaithful shepherds do not go to heaven. Now I would like to talk to the sheep. You have your own soul in your own hands. You must not trust your soul to anybody else. You must read the word for yourself. You must focus on God's word and know exactly what you believe. Do not trust anybody else with your salvation. Shepherds cannot be trusted. The only one that can be trusted is the chief shepherd. I cannot be trusted. Any other shepherd cannot be trusted because we are defective. Only God can be trusted, and your soul is in His hands and in your hands. The spirit of prophecy was given to us for a very special purpose. You see, God is in the most holy place at this time. Jesus is performing a very beautiful function. And in the most holy place, He is performing a function, the cleansing of the sanctuary, which includes and focuses on our own soul sanctuary. Because Jesus lives in us and lives in His people. And this sanctuary of His people, reflected by the sanctuary in heaven, must be cleansed. The 144,000 are being prepared today. And you are called upon to be part of the 144,000, to follow the Lamb everywhere He goes, and to be without spot or wrinkle. It is the job of our chief shepherd. It is the job of our high priest today to cleanse each of us from all sin. What a beautiful message. We've been on earth way too long. Here we are 160 years later, and the job has not finished yet. I'm grateful for the opportunity to be part of that last generation. And I am determined with all my heart that God will have full control of me. I am surrendering daily habits. I'm asking for victory over temptations. My life is in God's hands, and I am still growing. I am not perfect yet, but the latter rain is coming, the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit that will bring the fruit to a ripened condition. That is coming soon. And if I am not busy today surrendering my life and gaining victories, when that latter rain and the Holy Spirit is poured out, I won't even know about it. I would like to invite you to be part of the great finishing work. The first step, recognize that your chief shepherd, the high priest, is today working, standing in between you and the Father as an intercessor, and working to cleanse the soul sanctuary, the heavenly sanctuary, a symbol of all of the personal heart sanctuaries, cleansing them of all sin, putting aside the worldly music, refusing to be part of the worldly music that is mixed together with sacred music. We do not need the rock music in our churches. We don't need the secular music in our churches. In fact, Satan would love this. It is time to cleanse the soul sanctuary of all worldly influences. It is time for us to be able to allow God to do what He's always wanted to do. Cleanse us from all sin. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, God is faithful to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is the job today. The first part is to be justified and forgiven. The second part is to be cleansed and to be sanctified. And the third part, very soon, Jesus coming will bring our bodies to a glorified, eternal body and eternal physical being. We don't have that yet, but God is working on us for the second part, the cleansing from sin. I want to invite you. Would you like to participate in that great commission to reach all the world? The best way to do it is to allow God to have total possession of your heart and mind. The best way is for God to cleanse you from all sin and use you to preach the gospel in all the world through sacrifice, through following the Lamb, through carrying our cross, going into the dark places of the earth, through total possession of the Holy Spirit. This is the beautiful promise we have, and God is doing it right now. Don't miss it. The majority of the church will miss it. The majority of Seventh-day Adventists will be lost. The majority of pastors will be lost unless we turn to God and allow Him to cleanse our bodies and cleanse our souls and allow Him to put His Spirit in us without spot and without wrinkle. What a beautiful message. Extreme neglect. That is the title of this DVD. Let us not continue extremely neglecting our souls, our families, our churches, and the world field. There's a world to be gained, and I want to be part of it, and I invite you to do that. Would you do that with me? Thank you so much. God bless you.